Well, happy Sabbath and welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School time on this 21st day of July, 2018. Welcome to those joining us on the phone or listening to the recording, and glad to have you all in fellowship today. It's a beautiful Sabbath day outside, and I pray, regardless of whatever weather it might be, that you have a beautiful Sabbath day worshiping together and praising our God in spirit and in truth. Before we get into our study book, it's time for opening prayer. And who here would like to offer that prayer for us?
Dear Father, we're so happy to be here with you and all of the worlds on this beautiful Sabbath day. And we ask that you will open our ears and our minds and our hearts to your words and send the Holy Spirit to help us understand and to add to this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're continuing in our study book of Desire of Ages. This is chapter 58, titled Lazarus Come Forth. And we're down about two-thirds of the way on page 528 to the paragraph that starts out, "For your sakes." And the last thing that we were discussing was that if Christ had been next to Lazarus, Lazarus would not have died. He would have gotten well, because death and sickness cannot remain in the presence of Christ Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why Christ is referred to as the great physician. So we also learned that Christ purposely did not immediately go to where Lazarus was, even after Martha and Mary had requested him to come, because there was a very good reason. There was a divine purpose in his delay. The faith of Martha, Mary, Lazarus, as well as his disciples, needed to be tested. And so it wasn't for any arbitrary reason that Christ did not go to help his friend and loved one. It wasn't for any selfish reason. It was for a divine reason that Christ remained away until after Lazarus had died. And as we continue here, you'll be able to see what that reason is more clearly. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. For your sakes, to the intent you may believe, Christ said, to all who are reaching out to feel the guiding hand of God, the moment of greatest discouragement is the time when divine help is nearest. So when we're at the moment of greatest despair and discouragement, that's when divine help is the nearest to us. Now, we don't literally see God's hand right there reaching out and waiting for us to grasp his hand. So we have to understand it by faith. That's what promises are that God has put in his word. These promises encourage our faith and lead us to trust in God no matter how bleak things may look on the outside. So we can claim this promise right here in Desire of Ages 528. To all who are reaching out to feel the guiding hand of God, the moment of greatest discouragement is when divine help is nearest. That's a promise. And the Spirit will bring this promise back to our minds when we need it the most. In other words, when we are at the lowest point in our lives. And we're seeking to God for help. We know that He's nearest to us at our most greatest time of need. The devil's going to tell us that we're forsaken. God's left us. We're a great sinner. We've gone too far. It's too late. But we can't listen to the devil because he lies. We must listen to God because he always tells the truth. And when we're at our lowest point, the promise is God is the nearest to us. And that's a cause for rejoicing. To have God right with you, that's a cause for rejoicing. And so now you can begin to understand more of why Paul said that he glories in tribulation. Why? Because that's when God was nearest to him. And that was a cause for rejoicing. And it's the same with us, dear ones. God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we're at the lowest point, when we're suffering tribulation and trials and persecution, that's a cause for rejoicing because God is the nearest to us. And he's waiting for us to trust him implicitly. And praise his holy name. Many of you may know this story or this analogy or parable. It's called Walking in the Sand. And an individual Christian was walking in the sand with their Lord, and they came to a great trial in their life. And they were able to pass through the trial, and afterwards they turned around and looked at the footsteps in the sand. And they saw that there were two sets of footsteps, them and Christ, until they reached that point at which they were enduring their greatest trial. And then there was just one set of footprints. There wasn't two anymore. And so the individual was troubled. And they thought that Christ had left them, that he was forcing them to endure this trial all alone without his help. And so they approached Christ and said, "Why did you leave me at my greatest hour of need?" And Christ said, "I didn't leave you. I love you too much. During your greatest time of need, your greatest trial, amen, I carried you." Dear ones, Christ has promised that he would never leave us or forsake us, that we become strong in his strength at the time we're the weakest. When we need to be upheld in his loving arms, he's right there to do so. So when the devil comes in like a flood and tries to discourage you and lead you to believe you've been forsaken by God, look, there's just one set of footprints there. That's your footprints. The Savior's abandoned you. You can claim this promise that God is nearest us during our greatest need, and that He will bear us up in His loving arms and carry us if need be. Just like the great shepherd of the sheep would pick up the lambs that were too tired to continue on and carry them back to safety. That's our loving Savior. Cause for rejoicing, even during severe times of trial. So the moment of greatest discouragement is the time when divine help is nearest. Continuing, they will look back with thankfulness upon the darkest part of their way. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. 2 Peter 2:9. That's another promise to claim. From every temptation and every trial, He will bring them forth with firmer faith and a richer experience. So as a result of temptation and trial, our faith becomes firmer, more resilient, stronger. So then the more temptations and trial we go through in the strength and grace of Christ Jesus, the greater our faith becomes. And let me tell you, we're going to need all the faith that we can possibly obtain by the severe trials that prophecy points out are facing us in the near future. And God recognizes that. And that's why He allows these much less intense trials and sufferings to come to us at this point, to build our faith, to increase our trust in Him, that we might be able to endure the greater intensity of trials and tribulations to come. So in no way has God left us or forsook us during temptations and trials. He's right there. And we have to recognize He's there through faith and grasp His hand. And then the victory is gained together. He won't gain it for us without our help, and we can't gain it. Amen. Text is put in the room, Luke 8:41, dealing with the child that had died of the woman, and then Christ raised the child. And the comment is, this is similar to Lazarus. And it was indeed a increase of faith, especially to the mother. But you can imagine also to the child when they understood that it was Christ that brought them back to life. So amen, brother. So we see that to Martha and Mary, it was a tremendous trial to see their brother die after they had requested Christ to come and heal him. And they had implicit faith that Christ could heal their brother. But he still died. And there was a divine purpose in allowing him to suffer and die. And as we continue here, we'll discover what that purpose was more clearly. And who'd like to read the next paragraph?
In delaying to come to Lazarus, Christ had a purpose of mercy toward those who had not received him. He tarried that by raising Lazarus from the dead, he might give to his stubborn, unbelieving people another evidence that he was indeed the resurrection and the life. He was loath to give up all hope of the people, the poor, wandering sheep of the house of Israel. His heart was breaking because of their impenitence. In his mercy, he purposed to give them one more evidence that he was the restorer, the one who alone could bring life and immortality to light. This was to be an evidence that the priests could not misinterpret. This was the reason of his delay in going to Bethany. This crowning miracle, the raising of Lazarus, was to set the seal of God on the work, on his work, and on his claim to divinity.
Amen, and thank you, sister. So we see that the purpose that Christ delayed coming to Lazarus until after he had died was not just to increase the faith of Mary and Martha and his disciples, as well as Lazarus after he was raised, but there was a far greater reach to that purpose. And that was to seek to dispel all the doubt among those that were still disbelieving that Christ was the Messiah. And especially to show the priests and the rulers in Israel with evidence they couldn't controvert that Christ was indeed the great I Am, the God of Israel. But Martha and Mary didn't understand that. Lazarus himself didn't understand that. The disciples didn't understand that. To all those around Christ, it appeared that he had forsaken Lazarus. Mary and Martha were tempted to believe that. Even the disciples didn't understand. But yet there was a greater reason, and that reason dealt with the salvation of precious souls. So when God allows us to go through tribulation and trials, it may not be just for our own reason that God is allowing us to endure through this suffering. There may be a greater, more far-reaching reason behind it. But we still have to trust God no matter what happens. Because we've seen over and over and over again his great love for us, his interest in our welfare. And that's one way to bolster our faith and courage to endure and hold fast to Christ through these times of tribulation, is by recalling what God has done for us in the past. God's ways are not our ways. To the disciples, Christ should have immediately dropped what he was doing and go and help Lazarus. To Mary and Martha, Christ should have come way before when Lazarus first became sick. But God sees everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And since he's unwilling that any should perish, but instead have eternal life, God is going to do everything he possibly can to lead precious souls to accept Christ as their Savior before it's too late. So not only was this incident designed to increase the faith of those around Christ, it was also designed to establish faith in other hearts that he was indeed the Messiah. And we need to avoid becoming tunnel visioned and allow our understanding to expand beyond just ourselves. And then we'll be able to more clearly understand what God is trying to accomplish by what he allows to occur among his people. Amen. There's a quotation in the room from Acts of the Apostles, page 515. It says, Peter's own experience of sin and suffering and repentance had prepared him. Not until he had learned his weakness could he know the believer's need of dependence on Christ. Amid the storm of temptation, he had come to understand that man can walk safely only as in utter self-distrust he relies upon the Savior. Amen. And then from page 524 of Acts of the Apostles. Trial is part of the education given in the school of Christ to purify God's children from the dross of earthliness. It is because God is leading his children that trying experiences come to them. Amen. Now the devil is going to try to get us to believe that it's because God has forsaken us that trying experiences come. But here we see just the opposite. It's because God is leading us that trying experiences comes to us. Continuing, trials and obstacles are his or God's chosen methods of discipline and his appointed conditions of success. If you're going on a walk and you see this big granite block hindering your advancement, what are you going to do? Some people give up saying, well, you know, I can't advance anymore, so this must be evidence that I'm not supposed to advance. I'll just sort of turn around and go back. Well, you're defeated if you do that. You haven't reached the end. You haven't finished the course. But to those who look at that roadblock as an opportunity, will climb on top of it, go over it, and down the other side and continue their walk. They will overcome that obstacle. And by doing so, they advance. That's what God is wanting us to do in our faith and religious experience with him, our walk with Christ, is whatever trials and obstacles are put in our path, we're to go over them through the grace and strength of Christ Jesus. Not in our own strength, but in the strength that Christ gives us. Those obstacles, instead of hindering our advancement, become a way to overcome and to grow in grace. And that is God's purpose in allowing those trials and situations to happen. Another question says, Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. I wanted to look into, was it because of the unbelief of the Jews that were witnessing this act, or the unbelief of Mary and Martha as to why he cried? Well, we'll actually find out as we continue, but it was a combination of two things. Christ sympathized and empathized with his people, and all around him were individuals that were crying because of the death of Lazarus. That sorrow touched his heart. And he cried because of empathy or sympathy along with those that were sorrowing. But there was also another reason, because he overheard individuals saying, well, this is Christ. Well, couldn't he have prevented Lazarus from dying if he was really the Christ? And so it was also the unbelief of those around him, even though he had given them evidence upon evidence of his divine character, that also tugged at his heart and led him to cry. So it was a combination of two things. Amen, that's true. All things work for good for his name's glory. Amen. Another comment is, God corrects who he loves. Amen. Any other thoughts or comments or questions?
When I first read that, the statement with that Christ had wept, what I also was thinking about is how even the Lord was trying to be able to reveal himself to his people. And even that generation had many that they were like Thomas. They needed something physical. Because even though that the Lord had been with them so long and showed them so many different, not only fulfilling scripture that was written for them to be able to have, but we also can acknowledge that a lot of them were not acquainted with some of them because the leaders taught them more their tradition and what they wanted for them to know, and the Lord was giving them another chance to hear the message. While he was teaching them, he was also giving them parable. But when I first read it and I saw how Mary Magdalene and Mary Martha were crying for their brother, and even though they know part of the scripture that he was going to do the resurrection at the end, what touched my heart was that he is the resurrection and the life. And even though that they knew they were looking towards future, it's like I saw that present truth is so important, because present truth is supposed to prepare for the time, the actual time, the present time. That if present truth was understood, their sorrow wouldn't be so deep. It is very telling for us as well. I remember that I was in a situation where I had the opportunity to tell someone the truth, but I know that their physical affliction at the moment was like a life and death situation. And even in that, it was very hard for me, because if they would have known the truth, it could have caused them to be able to get worse physically. But also, it was hard because I was wondering, did I take the opportunity not to be able to tell them? So I cried because I just couldn't make a decision not knowing in what manner it was going to affect. So I retreated to pray. I'm so sorry. So I carried this in my heart for such a long time because I felt that I could have told them what it was that the Lord told me. But it would have been very hard for them because I didn't want it to also cause them to go any further in their decline. And a couple of years after, when one of the person that she was trying to be able to give the gospel that was offended because of the Sabbath was the same person that the Lord had used to go to the hospital and videotape her. And she told her that I was on the phone while she was agonizing. And my pain was so strong that I didn't hear what she said. Because the guilt I had. Well, the Lord, in His mercy, she died in 2016. This year, I don't know what led me to go back into the text. And the video was there. And I was able to hear her. And the statement she made while she was speaking, I never heard it during the time that it was given to me. But the Lord was able to make me hear. He gave me comfort in my heart at that very moment to let me realize that everything was going to be okay.
Amen, dear sister. And connected with Christ, everything is going to be okay. We have to first pass through the darkness of the night before we reach the dawn of morning. But we know that that dawn of the morning is coming. And if we're cold, we focus on the warmth we're going to receive once the sun rises. So it's the hope of what's coming that enables us to endure in a much more contented state. But if we focus on the darkness and on what we're experiencing during that darkness, we lose sight of the morn coming in just a short while. So we need to look at Christ as the Son of Righteousness coming with healing in His wings. And in focusing upon Christ and the deliverance He'll bring us in just a short while, that will enable us to endure more contented on what we're suffering. And thus, gain the victory in Him. Amen. Focus on His love. And how sweet the victory is going to be after we've proved ourselves trusting in His love. That darkness will pass. And the light of His righteousness and love will be sweeter than it was the time before.
Sister Rosie used to tell me all the time, it's not the, don't focus on the falling down, but focus on the getting up, because having your focus on where you fell at, you'll find yourself remaining there and digging yourself deeper, rather than focusing on how to get out of the situation and looking up towards who is able to help you and guide you through the situation. I also had I told somebody last week that even a seed that is being planted it has to go through its own trials to be able to flourish and become a beautiful plant or a strong tree. Each season brings its nourishment. So when you find yourself crying, it's because there was a seed that was already planted. Your tears are as the rain that the Lord has brought to give the seed the nourishment that it needs to be able to grow. Once you've gone through that process of breaking through the mud and the dirt, then the tears come. And eventually after the tears, the sun shines. And when the sun shines, it brings strength to that plant for it to continue to grow and become stronger.
Amen. Good analogy, dear sister. And thank you for sharing. Continuing. On his journey to Bethany, Jesus, according to his custom, ministered to the sick and the needy. Upon reaching the town, he sent a messenger to the sisters with the tidings of his arrival. Interesting. Christ did not at once enter the house, but remained in a quiet place by the wayside. The great outward display observed by the Jews at the death of friends or relatives was not in harmony with the spirit of Christ. He heard the sound of wailing from the hired mourners, and he did not wish to meet the sisters in the scene of confusion. Among the mourning friends were relatives of the family, some of whom held high positions of responsibility in Jerusalem. Among these were some of Christ's bitterest enemies. Christ knew their purposes, and therefore he did not at once make himself known. The message was given to Martha so quietly that others in the room did not hear. Absorbed in her grief, Mary did not hear the words. Rising at once, Martha went out to meet her Lord. But thinking that she had gone to the place where Lazarus was buried, Mary sat still in her sorrow, making no outcry. So here we see some of the behind the scenes that were taking place in the lives and the motives that were involved in all that took place. Continuing. Martha hastened to meet Jesus, her heart agitated by conflicting emotions. In his expressive face, she read the same tenderness and love that had always been there. She had to look to Christ in order to dispel her doubts. And when she looked to Christ, she saw the same tenderness and love that he always had. It had not changed, even though she was going through sadness and sorrow. Christ still loved her immensely. And it's the same with us, dear ones. We have to look up to the Savior to recognize his love for us has not changed, even though we're going through this sad trial. Continuing. Her confidence in him was unbroken, but she thought of her dearly loved brother, whom Jesus also had loved. With grief surging in her heart because Christ had not come before, yet with hope that even now he would do something to comfort them, she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Over and over again, amid the tumult made by the mourners, the sisters, Mary and Martha, had repeated these words. Now look at how Jesus responded. with human and divine pity. Does God have emotions? Indeed, we're created in his image, meaning since God has emotions, he created us with these emotions. So with human and divine pity, Jesus looked into her sorrowful, careworn face. Martha had no inclination to recount the past. All was expressed by the pathetic words, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." But looking into that face of love, she added, "I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Now, Christ didn't need to be in the presence of Lazarus in order to heal him, did he? Christ could have healed him when he was still outside, far away from Bethany. So we don't need to have Christ personally come to us in order to provide us relief or healing. He can do it by a thought, by a glance. It can all take place according to his perfect will and in his perfect timing. But here, Mary and Martha had fixed their hopes of Lazarus being healed only when Christ's personal presence was there. Is that a lack of faith? In a way, because when that centurion came to Christ, he said, "Lord, you don't have to come under my roof in order to grant my request to heal my servant. All you have to do is speak the word wherever you are and he'll be healed. In fact, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, so just say the word and my servant will be healed." And Christ amazingly, said to the crowd, "I haven't found so great faith anywhere in Israel. And here this Gentile has manifested more faith than you all." So we don't have to have some great feeling of emotion or excitement or some great display take place before our prayers can be answered. All we have to do is look up in faith and allow God to answer our prayers in his timing and in his own way. Amen. His faith was pure indeed. Amen. In simplicity. So here Martha said, "I know even now, even though my brother's dead, that miracles can take place." And next time, we'll see more of what miracles did occur. And there were greater miracles that occurred at that day other than just Lazarus being raised. And there's still miracles occurring today, dear ones. To take a heart of stone and convert it to become a heart of flesh is a miracle. to take a great sinner and transform him into a humble, obedient follower of Christ is a greater miracle than creating the moon or Jupiter. God is still a miracle-working God. And that miracle has been manifested on many hearts listening today. And praise God that there'll be many more hearts that He'll work miracles of transformation upon before Christ comes. Praise God. This entire earth will be filled with His glory as the waters cover the sea. And what a privilege it is to aid Him, be a co-laborer with Him in furthering His message of truth far and wide. Amen. He's doing it right now. And don't let a single day pass you by without feeling His miracle-working power in your life. Shall we pray? Precious Father in heaven, we thank You so very much that we are one day closer to getting off of this wicked world and going home. Please continue working miracles in behalf of Your people all around the world. Pour Your Spirit out in great early and latter rain abundance, that hearts will be convicted and led directly to the Savior, that their sins may be confessed, forsaken, forgiven, and they be given power to become the sons and daughters of the Most High, children of the light and of the day, and no longer of the night and darkness. And Father, please, as Lord of the harvest, continue to raise up more laborers and send them into the great harvest field of the earth, as well as the churches, and empower the message that they give, the gospel message of salvation, and empty Babylon of precious souls, and bring them into Your kingdom of righteousness. Please also be with us who know the truth. Give us the grace and strength to live it. And empower us to spread the message that we believe, that we may let our light shine to awaken those in darkness and to lead them out of darkness to the marvelous light that shines from the face of Jesus Christ. And please help us to remember that when we're going through trials and discouragements and trouble and tribulation, that we will not focus on what we're going through or how it affects us, but we may instead focus on the lovely face of our Savior and recognize that God has allowed these things to occur to increase our faith and our hope and our trust in Him so that our faith can grow, that we can walk and advance more in grace, and our trust in God can increase and thus be better prepared for the next trial that comes. Let us recognize that Christ is close to us the more we suffer, that we may rejoice that we're in the very presence of our Savior, that He's there to help us, and if necessary, to carry us And that is cause to thank him and rejoice in his love for us. Thank you so much for thy love, thy merciful kindness, and for being here with us. Please continue, for we love you and we trust you. In thy name we pray. Amen.